Good day, listeners. We present to you our podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches. We discuss a variety of topics that are important to the church. Examples include sexual abuse, all types of addictions, religious abuse, and recovery. This platform provides counseling sessions, meaningful question and answer, and a counseling continuum. Our co-hosts include Ms. Lolita, Personnel Director, Mrs. Tennille, our Technical Director. We have an impressive array of program contributors. And I'm your host. My name is Prince, founder of Antioch Youth Center, 501(c)(3) program, licensed counselor, now retired. So join in this exciting podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches, and be a part of the healing process. Tonight, special guest, Stella Cavan. She was here last week. She was way over 100 listeners and viewers. We've got 9 platforms. That's over just one of our platforms. So no telling how many hundreds have listened last week. So we thank God for that. Let's give her a hand for being here tonight. So glad to have her. Amen. She's been around the Church of God 70 plus years saved. Her father was a minister in the Church of God. Knows a lot about grief. She really does. She had a nephew to pass, her daughter also passed, and a son who was the pastor, and a husband and a grandson, all in a very few years. So we want to glean from her how God has brought her through. We want you to call in and discuss this very poignant and important issue of grief. Sister Cavan, what advice would you give a person who has lost their spouse? What advice do you give those who have lost a spouse?
Well, number one is when you lose anyone, we need to go to God because He is a comforter and He can help us. And how to get our lives back together again, and especially some that have had very, very close relationship with their husband, it's, you know, I know that's very difficult, but the main thing is to go to God. He is able to take us through whatever. And don't make any rash decisions. Many times men will come around, not with me, but they see that you're lonely and they will, you know, and you decide to go ahead and get married too quickly or something. Now, sometimes it's good and sometimes it isn't. But the main thing to do is to stop and wait and get the leading of God. If He leads you to marry, or He leads you to stay single, or He leads you to be still, don't jump up, sell your house. Don't go around trying to get your children to start doing things. Just be still, as He told me, be still and know that I am God. And that's the thing to do in any situation. Being hasty in decisions and all that, later on, you kind of regret what you did. If you just waited and taking time, then let God work it out, it would have worked out much better.
Sister Cavan, that's true. You mentioned as far as marriage, how long should a person wait after the spouse passes? How long should they wait before they get married, do you think, in your experience?
As long as God tells them. if you're in the will of God, whenever He tells you, He knows the time. He knows what to do. So some go longer, some go shorter. It all depends. So how you can transition from one mate to another, that's another thing. So whatever God says, He's the one. Those are things that you have to learn how to have a relationship with God in such a way that He can personally lead you in those kind of things.
So, Kevin, you mentioned transitioning from one spouse. Talk to me about that. How does one transition from spouse to spouse? How does that occur?
By leaving the other one in the past. I didn't have that to happen, but I know that is what you have to do. You cannot come and bring your other one, either one of you, can't bring your other spouse into the marriage.
It's true.
It's true. A marriage is between two people and God. Mm-hmm. And when this other person is not going to be like your other spouse, most likely. So therefore, you've got to learn how to accept that person for what they are and get along with them, look, sit, and as my brother-in-law used to say, in fact, that was Prince's father, he said he would sit and study his wife, find out the things that she liked, that she doesn't like, and love her like that. And, you know, be able to get along with her. And that is in any marriage. I mean, if you're with your own spouse, you have to know each other. And then if you know that there's something that he doesn't like you to do, don't do it. Just leave it off. You know, I mean, nothing is important in life as much as having a good relationship. And I don't mean being a control freak or anything like that, but a good relationship with whoever you're living with. So that's very important.
You make it sound so easy, Sister Kat. You make it sound so easy.
It is easy. You know, what makes life easy is when you surrender your will to God.
Amen.
Get that in you.
Amen.
Be willing and obedient.
Amen.
To do whatever He wants you to do, and be willing to take low. I remember I had a neighbor next door, and so she told me she had a niece. So when her niece would was in the house, she had a bunch of brothers. Those brothers would come bouncing in there, and they would knock her down. So you know what she did? When she knew that they were coming in, she would lay flat on the floor. And that was such a great example to me of humility.
Wow. Wow.
Just get out of the way. If you
Wow.
Instead of bucking up against it and making a big issue out of it.
Oh, my. Lord bless.
Let God take care of it. My sister, that was another thing. She said she and her husband would stay up all night long to resolve differences. And maybe when they finished, they didn't quite agree, but they were still friends, and they still were able to move on from that. And that's the main thing, is learning how to talk out things and get them out of the way and continue on with your relationship.
Wonderful session tonight.
Oh yeah,
marriage is such a beautiful thing. When you think if you think God and His church is beautiful, well, we're supposed to be styled after Him.
Father help us.
So, therefore, the man is supposed to be treating her like God would treat us, and we are supposed to be subject. And He's not, if He's treating us right, He's not going to put demands on us that are unreasonable. He's going to treat us with care and love and all that He's supposed to do. And realize that she is not a commodity or just somebody. She is your wife. She's the love of your life, the part of you. And when you look at it that way, it makes a whole lot of difference.
Any questions from our listeners?
We sure do. We got a few coming in. First one is from Mr. 313. She asked, would it be okay to mention what my last spouse and I did with my new spouse?
If it's wise, you know, in this life, the principal thing to get is wisdom.
Wisdom.
And learn from God and He'll tell you, no, probably you need to leave that alone. Or else if He gives you liberty. But when you begin to do those kind of things, be very, very careful about mentioning your other spouse, because the other person, I mean, it's like having a girlfriend there all the time.
Right.
To me, that would be kind of rough. I didn't have that situation come up, but knowing how it would feel, no, I would say get the wisdom of God as to whether to say something or not.
Sister Kevin, good answer. Thank you for that. Any more questions from our listeners?
Yes, we do. Carrie Ann asks, should one spouse die and you get another, would it be rude to give things back, like the photos of the previous spouse's family? Not saying I'm trying to forget them, but it's taking up space.
Good question.
I didn't quite understand that.
Sure, I'll ask again. Carrie Ann asks, should one spouse die and you get another, would it be rude to give things back, like the photos of the previous spouse's family? Not saying I'm trying to forget them, but it's taking up space.
That's up to them. If they don't want them anymore, they can do that, because that's over. But some like to keep them. It doesn't mean that, you know, like that. It's just many times your children are a part of it.
That's
older
right.
people or that you love, they're a part of it. So they become people, just like any pictures. I mean, you know what would hurt and what doesn't. I mean, how he feels about it and all like that. He doesn't want to live in the shadow or she doesn't want to live in the shadow of a wife that, or mother that she, or husband that she once had. I wouldn't want to.
Sister Kevin, you mentioned, well, I listened to the last week's podcast, and I'm quoting, you said God will replace things that we lose in our life. May not be the same, but it will meet the need. Expand on that a little bit.
Right. That's going right into that, where God would give you a good wife, and maybe you had the first wife. She might have been a great cook. She may have been outgoing. She may have been all that. The next wife, she may not be that, have all those qualities, but she might be one that knows how to talk to you, or how to comfort you, or how to do. So she's going to have some strong points. So you have to appreciate the strong points she has and forget that which you don't have anymore. That's
she
all.
Might be a good listener.
Any comments from our director?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Sister Kevin, do you think a person should visit the grave site after the spouse has deceased?
It's up to you.
Or the family member, or the daughter, or whoever it might be.
It's up to you. I don't gain any comfort by going out there and seeing that grave site. And if I go out there on a time when I'm feeling low and miserable, then I'll go out there and I'm bringing on tears that I don't have, mourning that I don't have to bring on.
Right.
I mean, I just have to move on. And when the good thoughts come, I can enjoy those. Or if I'm in church and I hear a song that remind me, I can cry then. But to put myself, I think I told that last year, I don't put myself in those positions to just cry and cry and cry. No, I don't do that. And can you, how many grave sites would I go to if I went to all my loved ones?
Get grave sites? Lord.
Right. Right.
I'd have about 30 or 40 that I have to visit. Right. So every month I'm going out there looking at something and crying. No, I'd rather pay somebody to be sure and sweep it out often, take care of it, and we're good. But not that I don't love them, and not that I forget them.
Right, right.
I don't have to. I don't have to put myself in that position.
Mm-hmm. Sister Stella, we define grief as distress, loss, painful regrets. And of course, even when we experience church splits like I did about 50 years ago, the people that we're torn from, we don't see. You're talking to someone tonight who's been through a church issue, maybe split, and they're grieving over that. How do they handle that when they don't see the person anymore? They don't see them, those who they were so close to. How do we handle that grief?
Right. Well, one of the things I try to do is reach out to those that I was close to in the first place, and, you know, and talk to them. If there's nothing we can do, we can't come together or whatever, then I just pray for them. And if I see it, ask God to help me. I don't want to feel a certain way about them. I don't want to always be, you know, talking about what they did to me. And I want to forget that I don't want to be bitter. And so in order for me to stay away from bitterness, I have to forget it. Just like Christ said, as far as the east is from the west, that's where he puts our sins. And when people are doing things to us, that's the attitude that I have to have, is to put it away. Maybe they meant it that way, and maybe they didn't. But in so doing, they really can't, you know, really can't destroy me. I know I had a person I love a lot, and they went to the pastor and told him that something about me. And so I went to him and I asked him, I said, am I really that way? If I am, you know, pray for me. And he said, no, you're not. And he wanted me to tell him who it was, but I wouldn't tell him. So I didn't want him to get on that person. So later on, that person came back to me and said, apologized, because the pastor got on them, because they knew that, I guess, they had done that with other people. But as much as you can, just that stuff does not define you. Remember
Thanks
that.
God.
No matter what happened, God loves you, and
Amen.
You
Amen.
Are on your way. We're on
Amen.
Track. We're on our way to heaven.
Amen.
We don't
Amen.
Have time Amen. To be stand still and,
Amen.
You know, regret what they did and all that.
Amen.
And
Amen.
See, when you lose God, you go out there and do a lot of stuff, then you come back with a whole lot of regret.
True.
I wish I hadn't done Very true. And not only regret, but reaping. You're going to reap some of that stuff that you went out there. You didn't bring your children to church like you should because you were upset and all that.
My, God bless.
You're doing stuff, and you God did
bless.
It.
Lord bless. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how you feel in your heart? I should have been there for my children. I should have been taking them to church. I should have been training them. God never did anything to me. He's always been there for me. But because of some person, I let him go. And then they kept him and got straightened out and went to heaven. Now, does that make sense?
My. Lord bless. Sister Kevin, you're talking to someone who's been fighting with bitterness.
Yes.
You mentioned that earlier. How can one fight bitterness?
Stop telling everybody about it and talk to God about it. Say, I don't want to feel this way about that. That's what God's for. He said, come and ask what you need. Like I said last week, it's so easy to ask, I need a new car, I need a job, I need a house, I need a wife. Go ask him for these beautiful virtues that he's got out there for you.
Amen.
How to be kind, how to be loving, how to get along with each other, how to overlook our faults. He said, when they say, and many times they don't apologize. I've had some that never apologize. In fact, I had to apologize. I apologized to them because God told me, but I was free. Do you know the freedom of not having bitterness? That's so beautiful. You can go and look. Place, look at all those people and say, I am free. I have nothing against any of you. You can come up and hug me and I feel nothing. Can you imagine the freedom of that?
Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, I love that song. Nothing between my soul and his favor.
Yes.
He said the least of his favors. That means the least of his favor would be just letting me walk across the floor because I could fall. But the least of it, he said, that he'll do it for you because of the fact that there's nothing between. I can call on him and there's nothing there.
Now, friends, if you have questions, we've only got about 3 minutes left here and I've got about 5 questions to try to press it in. Sister Kevin, humbleness, does that play a part in healing and keeping bitterness out?
I love it. That's that little girl falling on that floor, letting him run right on over her. Exactly what it means. And then it's that song. I love it. He said, let pride in my heart abide.
Yes, yes.
And that's the way I don't want any parts of it. I don't want to be lifted. I don't want to, none of that. I mean, what it doesn't bother me to go and let you know I'm sorry. Get up in church if I have to. I'm sorry. I did not mean that. So, I think humility is one of the most beautiful things that you can have. And I mean, you can humble yourself, but that humility that comes from within, there's nothing more beautiful. You can't pierce it, you can't mistreat it, you can't do anything to it, you can't deal with it. Because I'm right, I'm out here, you do whatever you want, I love you anyway. And if I don't love you enough, I'm going to my prayer room and I'm going to pray until I do.
Now, so I can go through the motions of being humble, but real humility comes from the inside. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That comes from God. That is a beautiful virtue that comes from God. And it is within.
Okay, I got it.
All the beautiful things that we have, they all come from God. Anytime we're long-suffering, we're kind,
amen.
Of that comes from God. And he wants us to have that, as I said before. He wants us to show that so that other people will know it. You can have the same thing. I didn't get this on my own. It came from him. And this is how he is, and this is how you want to be. And that's what you strive for, is to have that beautiful humility and long-suffering and kindness and love. And it can grow and grow and grow. It's not like something that, okay, you get it today and that's all. No.
Amen.
It's like money. When you keep on putting money in the bank, it adds up. And it goes greater and greater.
Any questions from our director?
I did have a question going back to humility.
Yeah.
would it override the emotion that you feel towards that individual? I mean, you're still, the hurt is still there, but would humility override that? How do you deal with the feeling itself?
Actually, that's prayer. You spend a lot of time in prayer. Lord, I don't want to feel this way. I don't want this. I don't want this. Because actually, the devil is pushing it. I mean, we're human.
Yeah,
the devil
yeah.
pushes that until it comes to something serious, more serious than what it would have been. Yeah, you're hurt. I used to drive home sometimes, tears running down my face. But that's all right. I'm going to go back to church, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to stay safe.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And whatever it is, whether they meant it or whether they didn't, it isn't. And then I always search and see, am I really guilty of what they said? Mm-hmm. That's another thing. That's the first thing I do, is start with that. Did I really mean that, or did I really do that?
Yes.
And when I find I did, I can apologize. And if I found I didn't, then I can just let God take that out of me. He said he would take all unrighteousness, cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
So anything there that requests and needs to be cleansed, he'll cleanse it. We got to be careful we don't act on any of that or go around telling everybody what they did.
That's right.
But
that's right.
God's able to help us.
I've got to get back to that. Our time is up. I know that. But okay, so I've been in ministry for almost 40 years. But I've not heard that before like that. So I can do a humble act and still be prideful. But if God gives humility, that is another level. Is that what you're saying? They're two different things. I can.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. As I say, you can go to or talk to somebody and you can say, that is a humble brother. What do you think? Why do you think that? It's the spirit of it. Humility is a spirit.
Amen.
It's not something that we put on ourselves. It's him.
Oh, God.
It's him. Whenever we can humble ourselves, it comes from God. And it's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
Well, friends, our time is gone tonight. This is Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches podcast. And you've been wounded tonight. We're here for you. Sister Kevin, do you have any last minute things that you might want to say to anyone listening? Maybe to the wife whose husband left her, or maybe someone who's left the church and hurting. Any last minute exhortation for anyone here?
Well, I would just say none of that is the end of the world. As long as you have God,
amen,
you can make it.
Amen.
He has enough grace for you. He has a better life for you. He has everything you need. My marriage wasn't as I would like to have been. I'm not running my husband down. I'm just saying that to say, but God worked things out and we were able to live together peaceably. And I had a happy life, able to go and do. So he can do anything but fail. And the church situation, you may not be able to stay at that church. Maybe things have gotten to a place where you can't stay there, not because of being hurt, but it has to be doctrinal.
Right.
And so maybe you'll have to leave there. But when you leave, make sure. When I left the church one time, I had the pastor come over and I let him know why I was leaving. And it was all doctrine. And so that way, when I went back to the church, whenever I'd go for, they had something or other, I could go and he would speak to me and he felt good toward me and I felt good towards him. There was nothing there, except that I could not be under that particular doctrine.
And you felt free because it was doctrinal.
Absolutely.
And that makes a difference. Any questions or comments for our director before we go?
No, sir. Okay.
Well, friend, it was a wonder. If you missed it, you've got to take a look on our one of our 9 or 10 platforms. And if you've left the church or left God tonight, reconsider coming back today. Been wounded or you've been hurt, like Sister Kevin said, God is love, and God loves you tonight. So consider going back this Sunday, but consider getting back with God tonight. Do that right now. If you're in your car, pull over. If you're in your house, kneel right down. And you ask God the Father to help, and he will. He wants to heal those wounds, help you to forgive, and to go on from there and prospering in that healing space because God loves you. Sister Kavanaugh, thank you so much. Been wonderful. In fact, she's our new staff person on the Wounded Heart. Thank God for that. Our director, Sister Tennille. And the Lord bless you till next Thursday. May the Lord bless you. Have a good day.